So we stopped last week in the middle of a discussion about the karbanos. I'd like to pick up a greater appreciation of the karbanos and then begin an introduction to Psukei d'Zimra. So I think we ended with the question of why we say these psukim of the Torah and then the Mishnah and the Gemara and not something that's really, really important, especially, maybe this is why we waited until this week, why not the Aseres HaDibros? The Aseres HaDibros, foundational mitzvos, ideas of Yados. So if we're going to say anything, we're going to talk about the Karban Tamid, why don't we also talk about the most important mitzvos? And there, I just blew it, I gave it away. Right, the answer is that the Minim would have suggested that if we say the Aseres HaDibros every single day, so those are the most important mitzvos, to the exclusion of the other 603 perhaps, or certainly to the exclusion of many others. So these are the mitzvos that we choose to recite on a daily basis. Obviously they must be more important. They must be more meaningful. Hashem must care about them more if we're going to invoke them on a daily basis. So to avoid that concern, Rav Saadia Gaon says that all the other mitzvos really stem from the Aseres HaDibros, but afal pi kein, nonetheless, we don't want to give the impression that only those 10 commandments were given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the others were given to us by Moshe. Everything else was a derabbanon. This one is, these are deraisa, everything else is a derabbanon. So it's also, if you'll note, those of you who were here for Shabbos last week, and again, we'll have the minhag again this week, if Jacob does his job as well as he always does. Right before, some people have the minhag of standing up for certain parts of the Torah. That could be a whole Shavuos night shir, standing up for Aseres HaDibros. Part of the reason for standing up for the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos morning is to make sure that you're awake. Certainly by the end of Maaseh Merkava, the Haftorah on Shavuos morning, most people, if you look around, Rov of the Tzibur is actually out cold. So,
How about sleeping
Akdamos? That's for sure, right? Once you get to Akdamos, at least you wake up for the Aseres HaDibros before you take your second part of your nap on the Haftorah. So there is a minhag that because of the chashivas, the significance of the Haftorah, of Maaseh Merkava, which is something that we don't really understand, it's just as lofty a leaning as the Aseres HaDibros, and just as we stand for the Aseres HaDibros, there are those, and I've adopted this minhag to stay awake, and also out of the chashivas of the Haftorah, but to stand up for the Haftorah. You look around, nobody's standing for the Haftorah. You're lucky to be awake at the Haftorah. But there is such a minhag brought down that I discovered one Shavuos night probably 15, 20 years ago. So the significance of the Aseres HaDibros, of Shiras Hayam, of Az Yashir, the significance of the last pasuk of the Torah, when we say Chazak, Chazak, we never stand for just the last couple of words. We never stand only for the Aseres HaDibros. We don't even just stand for Az Yashir. We stand for a pasuk before that. The gabbai will give a clap on the bima. Everybody, all rise. So that we're not singling out these psukim, but we also take a little bit beforehand. The Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemur is also a pasuk in the Torah. And the psukim that precede and introduce the Aseres HaDibros or introduce the Shira are also just as meaningful. This is a very poignant part of the Torah, so we stand for it. Others have a minhag not to stand. They specifically don't want to ascribe any greater significance to the Aseres HaDibros than any of the other psukim. So just like we stand for a few psukim before, others say, no, I'm never standing up. I'm always going to sit. Or I'm always going to stand, and then you never have to stand up because you're already standing. So yesh omer v'yesh omer, yesh al milisma for each of these. It's also important to appreciate the role of the Mishkan and the Karbanos, even if we're not actually going through the details. We're just reciting the Psukim. It's not a deep limud. You can get into Ezehu Makomon, which is still just a Mishnah. Mishnah can be broken down into Gemara, and Mishnah can be broken down even within the Mefarshim Mishnah. We're not doing a real limud. So what's the point of the Mishkan and the Mikdash? Why do we need all of it? The answer is to create a space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina to come into this world. Not for him, but for us, that we could benefit Miziv HaShechina from the beauty, the aura of Hashem's presence. The Ramban writes that the meaning and the essence of the Mishkan and the Mikdash is that the honor and the glory that rested on Har Sinai will also rest on the Mishkan in some hidden way. Obviously, right, the Kolos Uvrakim, the thunder and lightning, the pomp and circumstance, the excitement, it was palpable, it was amazing, and all of us were there. We weren't all at the Mishkan. We were all there at Har Sinai. So Kaviyah, there's some element of having the Shekhinah traveling with us. Now, Mipnei Chatoenu, not only Galinu Mi'aretzenu, but the Shekhinah, we've exiled Hashem's Shekhinah because we're not worthy of it. So there's a parallel in the language between the wording that the Torah uses by Har Sinai and the wording that the Torah uses by the Mishkan. By Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, Vayishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, that Hashem's glory, His honor, rested on Har Sinai. And by the Mishkan, later on it says, Ukvod Hashem malei es HaMishkan. So whereas the Hashem's kavod was resting on the mountain, so too it filled up. Hashem is mitzamtzim Himself even to fit into that He could fill up this whole world. But He fills up the Mishkan with His kavod. So there's a similarity there, that the Mishkan was a way of continuing that relationship that began more explicitly, formally, on Har Sinai, traveling with us through the Mishkan and ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash. So the honor goes with us. So when we think to ourselves, what is this all about? We're reading about Karbanos and sprinkling the blood and east and west and north and south and up and down and right and left. What's the significance? It's a process. We can say the same thing, by the way, for the Avodah on Yom Kippur. It's a very long liturgy. Another opportunity where people are tired because their blood sugar has dropped by that point in the early afternoon on Yom Kippur, having been fasting for 15, 16 hours already, for sure. And we get into this long piyut about the description of, it starts all the way back with the creation of the world, and then it goes through the history of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, Mitzrayim, and etc., etc. So we try to connect, we try to relate, but it's hard. You know, okay, now we bow down on Yom Kippur, and now we stand up, and then the Baal Tefillah goes down for Alin. It's gimmicks, but do we really connect to it? So we're not going into the details, but you just think about the role that the Avodah had on Yom Kippur, right? That was what was Mechaper. So too, the Karbanos that we read about every morning is supposed to connect us, think back about what would happen if we had the Mishkan, if we had the Beis HaMikdash today. How would that connection go, which really brings us all the way back to Har Sinai. The Kvod Hashem Mali Es HaMishkan, just like the Kvod of Hashem was on Har Sinai, it's supposed to draw us back, step by step by step. Now, as we were talking about before this year, we don't always have an opportunity to breathe for a second, certainly not to internalize and think about these messages when we're davening early in the morning, and davening can take 24, 26, whatever number of minutes, 18 minutes, if you go to certain minyanim. There's 1 minute I went to do the schus of doing a tara with Rav Elchanan Zon, who's the head of the Chevra Kadisha in Queens. So when I was in yeshiva, I wanted to familiarize myself with it so that these halachos were not just theoretical. So he was doing a tara very early Sunday morning. I dive into a certain minyan. You could bake matzahs in that minyan. And then it took me another matzahs cycle to be able to finish davening. And still I was early. But when you're davening that quickly, and sometimes the metzias is we need to daven quickly, it's hard. But at least if you have, at some point, maybe you have an extra couple seconds, or you get there early and you pace yourself, this is really the connection that we're supposed to have. Thinking about the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what role do the Karbanos play in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We went into it in greater detail. So why do we say the Karbanos here, specifically between the Berachos HaShachar and Psukei DeZimra? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says that the earlier part of davening, meaning the Berachos HaShachar, the Berachos HaTorah, they established a unique connection between us and Hashem. Asher B'achar Banu, there's a distinct relationship that we have to the exclusion of all others. Then we get into the brachos of our clothing is unique and distinct. The Kedusha Sayadayim with Asher Kedushan Mitzvot Sivanu Al Natilas Yadayim. And even connecting, as we go really far back, to the, as Rabbeinu Bachya said, the guf im haneshama. So we're connecting the body with our spirits. So we talk about the karbanos. So what's the purpose of the karbanos here, having gone through that process? So the Ramban tells us that when we bring a karban, we're supposed to think that this is me. I'm going up there. Did we look at the Ramban inside last week?
Yeah,
we did?
We mentioned this.
We mentioned it. Okay. Should we look at it inside or? We can keep going. Yosaroy Lishmoa Hatam Sha'omrim Bahem. So says the Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. What's the purpose of the karbanos? We did this inside. We did. Because he gets into the very specific details, and some people were a little uncomfortable with that. So I won't repeat that again. But the point is that every step of the sacrificial process is supposed to remind us that that was supposed to be that part of me, that was supposed to be my blood that was sprinkled because of my iniquities. And so therefore, it's that karban in my place. That makes it very personal. So if you have a structure, if you have an institution where you're able to offer of yourself in lieu of yourself, and you get to survive and live, you know, see another day and be in Oved Hashem for another day despite whatever might have brought you to that karban, that's a very special thing. So we acknowledge that we're dedicating our bodies, our clothing, our guf, our neshama, etc., and our unique essence entirely to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we want to elevate it, all of this, in the service of Hashem. And if we slip and we make a mistake, this is the process through which we're able to achieve atonement. And if the Beis HaMikdash were still around, and the kavod of Hashem was Malei Es HaMikdash, or Malei Es HaMishkan, so this would be exactly what we would be doing so that we could start our day off right, or that at some point during the day we could come to the Beis HaMikdash and achieve atonement and forgiveness. Yeah, there's still, we're going to get into Pesuk of the Zimra. We might not say the Karbanos, because in the Shalom Parim Svaseinu, it was in lieu of that. Although, if you're living up in the Galil, and you're not in Yerushalayim, there might still be a benefit to remembering that connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. So, Rav Pinkus said that the Brachos demonstrate that we are... No, it's the scent in here is quite unpleasant and growing more uncomfortable. I think the fan is actually making it worse. It's circulating. No, there's a certain scent in here that was Hashem's creation spread into our base measures today. Thank you. So ultimately, we live in a physical world. We need to elevate ourselves to reach the spiritual heights, but we live in a physical world. And so if the songs that we sing, says Rav Pinkus, of Psukei Dezimra, which we're going to get to, allow us to reach the level of Malachim, so to speak, so those are otherworldly songs, so the only way that we're able to elevate ourselves to be able to sing those songs is to be able to offer of ourselves in the form of Karbanos. And because we can't do that anymore, at least to invoke the process through which we were able to do that, by reciting the psukim on a daily basis, by sanctifying our physical selves in the service of Hashem, just as the status of that animal, which, you know, could have been an animal that was just in pasture, right? It had no significance. There are millions of animals in this world. But you took this one, you were machshev this one, you took this one as a karban, you brought it to Yerushalayim, you brought it as a karban, you took what was just another sheep, and you elevate it to be something that's used in the service of Hashem. And that's really what all of the physical world is for. The gashmius that's available to us should be used in that way. We move on to... Yes?
No, I'm just wondering, why all of a sudden do we have the section of Rabbi Yishmael on there?
Going to get there. Take a step back. We're up to Ezehu Mekoman. Sure. Right. Right. So it's part. Right. But also the Ketores itself was also something physical that we used the spices and were able to elevate those. We should be zocha to the smell of the Ketores in here. We should take it to Besamim. That would be a. So Ezehu Mekoman dates all the way back to the Siddur of Rav Amram Gon, And since its purpose here is to learn Mishnah, as we said before, it has to be understood. Right? You can't just recite it. There's the Matbeah Shetavu B'Chachamim. There's the text that the Anshe Knesset HaGadol coined, just to translate that, you know, literally. They created these phrases, these tfilos, these piyutim. So those, even if you don't understand their literal meaning, if you don't have the interlinear siddur, or you haven't mastered all of davening yet, still there's value. We spoke about this early on also. There's value to just saying it. Because there's some meaning on some mystical level, perhaps, that they had Ruach HaKodesh when they composed it, that even if you don't understand it, there's incredible value to it. When it comes to Ezer HaMakomen, we're talking about a Mishnah. Mishnayos don't have the same weight. And so therefore, if you don't understand it, it's really not the same. You need to at least have a basic understanding. So the Shlach HaKadosh says that you should say Ezer HaMakomen with a Nigin to be sure that you're saying it and learning it differently than the rest of davening. Now, I, Psukei DeZimra, should also say with a Nigin, but at least this part of davening before Kaddish, you should say differently. So the suggestion would be made that, you know, familiarize yourselves with Ezer HaMakomen, so that at least you know the basic meaning of the Mishnayos. It doesn't mean you have to get into the Yochanan Boaz and Tiferes Yisrael, but at least have some understanding of what the Mishnayos are talking about. So why was this Perek chosen out of all Shisha Sidre Mishnah? Why was this chosen to be inserted in davening?
There's no argument.
Huh?
There's no argument.
Right, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Arizal, who says that it doesn't have a machlokas, which means that it was a halacha brura lemoshe misinai, as the Mishnah Berurah says. So, some ask, because they don't like it's too warm, you know, and fuzzy to them. But the Gemara has a whole bunch of blotting shas on Ezer HaMakomen, but at least the Mishnah itself doesn't, that was like secondary. Number two, at this point, we're standing figuratively before the Mizbeach. So we should learn the Mishnayos that pertain to all of the Karbanos so that you can understand, you can apply the concepts that are explained in this Perek to everything else. Number three, within the Perek, we find the phrase Lifnim Min HaKalayim, from within the curtains or within the Azara. So once the Beit HaMikdash was built, there were actually no more Kalayim. There were no curtains. They were replaced with solid walls of the Beit HaMikdash. So this text must have been used since the time of the Mishkan. So that would make it likely the oldest Mishnah in all of Shas. And so therefore there's something very special about this Mishnah. Not only was it given to Moshe, perhaps, but it was also, you know, a unique Mishnah. And finally, Rabbi Shmuel Omer B'Shloshah Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Behen. So this is the introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh. And at the end we say, Yehi Ratzon, we hope that soon we'll be able to receive our share of understanding of the relevant halachos, through which we'll be able to integrate them and apply them, halacha l'maisa, in the Avodah Space HaMikdash and the other critical component of the Avodah that represents, right, that balance that we spoke about last week, that just because we have Avodah Shebelev and we have Neshama Parim Sfaseinu, we shouldn't for a second forget that there was this other part of Avodah, which is the Avodah Space HaMikdash. And so therefore we conclude this series, starting from Moda'ani, Berchos HaShachar, to the Karbanos, and the Mishnah, and Gemara, that really we acknowledge that we need to bring everything together. All of the elements of Avodah are critical together. Then let's start with an introduction to Psukei DeZimra. So Psukei DeZimra is shiros, their songs, based out of the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Amar Rav Yosi, Yehei Chelki Migomri Halal B'chol Yom. So Rav Yosi says, I want to be among those who complete Halal every single day. Ini is the so, I v'ha'amar mar, but we know, Kore Halal B'chol Yom Harezim Mecharif Megadev. A person who, you're not supposed to eat Halal every day. You're going to take it for granted. Kikaminon, so what are we talking about? What should you complete? Which Shira, which Hallel should you say every day? Psukei DeZimra. So Rashi says on this Gemara, the Shenevim Harishonim Tiknu Lomer Beprakim L'Shabeach L'Shevach V'Hodaya. That this goes all the way back to the Nevi'im. This concept of praising Hashem with song and gratitude. And the Psukei DeZimra So what does that consist of? Rashi says, Shnei Mizmorim Shel Hilulim. It's two songs to Hashem. Hallelu es Hashem in Hashemayim, and Hallelu Kel B'Kadsho. Right? So it's the third and the fifth Hallelukas. That's it. At least according to Rashi in the Gemara, that's all it refers to. The Marsha says, why is it considered a mechayer? What's so terrible about saying Hallel every day? You think, you know, halavai, if we had time to say Hallel, so the Hallel, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that you don't sing Hallel, even on Rosh Chodesh, or even on Chol Hamoed, people have to get to work. So we acknowledge, you say, that you say it instead of sing it, but even if just saying it, we don't say it every day, why not? So the Marsha says, Mishnah de Hallel niskan b'yamim miyuchadim. And when do we say Hallel? Special, special days. Al hanes lefarsim ki hakadosh baruch hu bal hayicholes l'shanos teva habria shashina b'yamim elu. These days are days when we know, when we can appreciate that which Hashem did that was exceptional, unusual. He changed the course of nature. The regular operating principles of the world were suspended so that Hashem could teach us some lesson through an incredible miracle. On those days, those are the days that we say Hallel. V'nimtza misha omer b'chol yom. So if you say it every day, well, you sparsim omer v'hanes. Gam b'yom ha-ru'uyim lefarsim nes Hashem yisparach. And therefore, kemecharif megadev shein biyado chalila l'shanos teva habriya. What happens? The Pesukei de Zimra that we say, if you were to open it up, if we were all to study the text of Pesukei de Zimra, English side by side, like the old Mitsuda Siddur, right? That the Hebrew and the English matched up evenly. So that would change your Pesukei de Zimra. But how long would that last for? How long would that newness, that excitement that you have of having a better understanding of Pesukei de Zimra, how long can that last? A couple weeks, maybe a few months even. But after a certain point, everything, if we're zocha to live long enough, everything becomes rote. We begin to take things for granted because we've been doing this for months and years build into decades, and decades into, a century. So when you have the opportunity to say Hallel, or let's say Pesukei de Zimra on a special day, on a yontif, you've been saying it every other day. It's hard to muster up that extra excitement and enthusiasm that this day deserves because of what Hashem did for us. And so therefore, we don't say it every other day. The Meiri says, the Hakori Hala B'chol Yom Harehu Kaporek Omen HaTfila. The strong words. It's as if you remove the yoke of heaven from your davening. Shahala lunasan el lahoda amasha avar be'ezanes. The Hashem, the Hallel is only said because of what Hashem has done for you in the past in performing some kind of miracle. Or be'ezagula, or in redeeming us from some difficult situation. V'chol shekovo b'chol yom. And if you were to institute saying it every day, dome kemisha ein lo litzok ula hispalel zman ha'omed. That if you say it every day for something that's exceptional, on some miracle that happened, right? Shiras Hayam. So we say Hallel on Pesach. We say Hallel on Sukkos for the miracles that we commemorate on those days. That would show us that if something happened, we only say Hallel for something that happened in the past, not for something that's going to happen. And so therefore, v'yesh mefarshim hatam shemitoch she'omro tamid, if you were to say it all the time, v'shalo b'tam, eno margish lehisor elav b'yomim shenikva bo, lahodal hanisim. You're not going to feel that excitement. And really, what's a song? A song is supposed to be an outpouring, a spontaneous expression of thanks. And if it's happening every day, it's no longer spontaneous. It's probably not even sincere. And so therefore, the Gemara in Brachos quotes Rabbi Simlai and Daflami Bezamad Aleph, Darash Rabbi Simlai, Le'olam Yisander Adam Shvachos Shalakodesh Baruch Hu, Ba'achar Kach Yispalel. But there has to be some recognition, some praise of Hashem. We can't just come in and say, thank you Hashem for all the Berachos HaShachar, which itself are a level of Hodah, certainly. And we're thanking Hashem for getting up, as we went through so many of those Brachos. But a formal praise, that's lacking. It's not just about my physical needs that we express, or that which distinguishes us from other society, but it's just pure praise of Hashem. So Rav Simlai says that before you can go and daven for anything, ask for anything, bet bakasha for anything, that has to be preceded with praise of Hashem. Minal, and how do we know this? We learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Our greatest Rebbe taught us the process. Dechsiv yeschanan el Hashem ba'eisahi leimor. That Moshe began to entreat, he tried to plead with Hashem, asking him, please, give me a chance, let me go to Eretz Yisrael. Uksiv Hashem Elokim, ata chilos l'erosis avdecha, es gadlecha v'yadcha ha'chazaka, asher mikel ba'ashamayim v'aretz asher yasecha ma'asecha v'chig v'rasecha. And what does he do? He begins to daven, and he praises him. There's nobody like you in the heavens and earth who can make all these things and who's as strong and powerful and mighty as you are. Sounds a lot like Pesukei Dezimra. Uksiv Basrei says afterwards, now, here's the hook, here's the request. Now that I've praised you and I acknowledge that you created the world and there's nobody like you, please, 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 can I go? Can I please enter Eretz Yisrael? And so that has to be the same formula that Moshe used. That's the same formula that we're going to use. You can say if Moshe wasn't successful, right? He didn't get to go.
That's the paradigm of the petition.
And we hope that our petition will be more favorably received and more favorably answered. But, as we know, just because Hashem didn't answer favorably doesn't mean that he didn't hear his tefillah and that the tefillah wasn't in the right formula. It meant that the answer sometimes is no. But Moshe was right in creating this formula, it just didn't work. I mentioned on, it's a drush, but... I don't know if Rabbi Schwartz or Rabbi Herman mentioned it in the Kinas on Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's from the end of Rav Shlomo Levenstein on Tisha B'Av. I think it's also found in Rav Zilberstein on Haggadah about if Moshe had davened one more time, then Hashem would have had to let him go. And that's why Hashem said stop. So, we think that just because we daven for things over and over, you know, we all have things that we daven for on a consistent basis, that doesn't mean you have to stop davening. And even if it didn't work yesterday, maybe it'll work tomorrow. And maybe it will never work. But we know that Hashem always collects our tefillos and answers them in the way that he deems appropriate. So Moshe Rabbeinu probably had a pretty keen understanding of how to formulate a request before Hashem. Probably one of the better understandings of any Jewish person who ever lived. And so this is the formula. So we have, so Rav Simlai says, notice it's not a chiyuv. He just says le'olam. This is a good idea. Right? Once you're going to get to shul, once you're going to open up a siddur, you might as well do it right. This is the winning formula. So, then we get into Pesukei Dezimra, and Shulchan Aruch tells us that Hamisaper ben Yishtabach leYotzer Or Averahu biYado, that a person who speaks between Yishtabach Pesukei Dezimra and Yotzer Or Berachos Kriyashema, it's an avera, it's a sin. V'chozer alav miArchei Hamalchama, and this is such a great sin, grave sin, that a person would not even go out to war if they'd committed this sin. So Mishneh Berurah explains what is so significant. That we know Hasach ben Tefillah leTefillah, if a person speaks between the Tefillin Shal Rosh and the Tefillin Shal Yad and the Tefillin Shal Rosh, that's also not a good thing to do. So the Mishneh Berurah explains, Rotzo Lomer Dechsiv Bakra Mi Ha'ish Hayarei Verach HaLevav Yelech V'yashov Leveso. A person who's fearful, who has a soft heart, they're not confident, they should go home. Amru Chazal Hayorim Averos Shabiyado. It's a person who's afraid of the Averos that they have in their hand. Beautiful Kotzker Rebbe on this. A bad person who's holding on to it rather than letting it go. And sometimes you need to let your Averos go rather than keeping them biyado even after you've done tshuva for them. V'zo gam kein bichlal averahi. Right, so holding on to that, El Yerab Kasa Mishe Mata Moshe Shaklipos Mevatlam Lalo Satfila. I'm not an expert. I'm not a Bucky and Klipos, but there's something about the effect, the spiritual effect of talking between Pesukei Dezimra and Yotzer Or, which is even worse than talking during davening otherwise, which is already not a good place to be. That it's a klipa, that it is mevatel. It's some shell that is able to nullify and basically erase your davening. And the Pesukei Dezimra, the songs that we sing, is able to rip up, to cut through that shell. But when you talk, that brings it back. Therefore you shouldn't speak. So there's something very powerful about the Pesukei Dezimra, that they should not be separated from that which follows it. There's a process here. The Shulchan Aruch says that the zmiros should be said efshar hazmiros b'merutza. You shouldn't say them very quickly. Ela ki im benachas, but rather slowly. The Berhetiv says shelo yidali shum teva, right? That you shouldn't skip a word. Something to aspire to when we daven in the morning. Right? As carefully, as slowly as we count money, that should be the way that we're saying Pesukei Dezimra. So the Torah writes that we say Baruch Sha'amar, Tzarech La'omer Benigun. Right? What's one way to make sure that you say it slowly? You can't sing a song, at least not too quickly. It slows you down a little bit. So tzarech lomer benigun v'ne'ima, ki hu shir na'ev v'nechmad, because it's a beautiful, precious, beloved song to us. The cost of v'sefer ha'yecholes rosho kesem paz, v'cheinu nusach ha'ashkenazim sheyesh pei zayin osios, that there are 87 words in these two mizmorim. V'niskena bracha zu, and this bracha, these brachos of the Pesukei Dezimra, was established to isu perikol kisve yehei chalkiyim gomri ha'halo, as we said before, b'chol yom. Umaskinon, that we're talking about Pesukei Dezimra. My nihu, Tehillel David. Says the Torah, it's not only referring to the two mizmorim that Rashi mentioned, but now the Torah expands it also to refer to what we colloquially refer to as Ashrei. Ad kol ha'neshama tahalal ka, which is what Rashi said. V'su garsinon perikama debrachos, am Rav Elazar kol ha'omer Tehillel David b'chol yom. So right, so Rav Simlai said in brachos that now, later on, we find Rav Elazar tells us the Kol HaOmer Tehillel David b'chol yom. Somebody who says Ashrei every day, three times, Gimel Pam, and Muvtach l'shehu ben Olam Haba. That it's guaranteed that you're going to be a ben Olam Haba. What does that mean? It means that if you're somebody who takes your tefillah seriously, so obviously you're not just going to run out of davening and then forget about Hashem. It's going to have an impression on you. When you sing it, you feel it, you mean it, it's going to be meaningful. So, v'chein darash rav simloi, li'olam yisadar adam, etc. So, achrei chein yispal, l'chein tiknu la'omram kodem tefillah. So therefore we say it before davening, as rav simloi suggests, v'kavu bracha zu lefneim yachas l'achrei mehi yishtabach. So there always has to be a bracha at the beginning, at the end, and so that bracha is Yishtabach and Baruch Sha'amar at the beginning. I think we'll stop here. It's a good place to stop. We'll continue Rosh Hashanah next week.